Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to the Lifebook Member Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Financial month. Loving financial month. What a powerful month it is. And we have a great guest on the line. Robert Riopel is on the line. Did I pronounce that correctly, Robert?
Pretty close. Think of it as a real pal, so Riopel.
Riopel. Robert Riopel is on the line. How you doing, my friend?
It's a beautiful day here in Canada. Loving being able to reach out and connect with people. So it's an awesome day.
That's awesome, man. You friendly Canadians, I love it. excited to talk about everything you got going on. The podcast, Success Left a Clue. Listeners, you can find out more about Robert at successlefteaclue.com. See everything he's going on there. He's a speaker and an author and a podcaster. I'm excited to dive in, man. But for the listeners, can you please give a little background on yourself and tell us how you came to write your best-selling book?
Well, you know, I love teaching people about mindset, and it was something that I had struggled with all my life. Yeah, not realizing as I was growing up that everything I was hearing, everything I was seeing and experiencing was actually having an ultimate impact on who I would become. And so the kind of things I learned about work when I was growing up is find a good job, work hard, and stay loyal to the company, and that company will take care of you. And it was interesting because in Alberta, we have oil here. And if the oil economy is doing well, we do well. But if the economy and oil prices are low, we struggle. Mm-hmm. So my criteria for a job was what was going to pay me the most and what was going to give me the best security.
Right.
It didn't even enter my mind whether it was something I was going to enjoy or not. It's just like, pay me money, make me feel secure. I'm a happy person. I'll do anything. And so that's what I was doing and struggling. You know, by the time I was 21, I ended up losing three different jobs because I was downsized or laid off or they closed a factory or whatever it is. And I was frustrated. And the only thing I could start doing at the time was deliver pizzas. We were in one of those oil price drops, no work. I'm going out looking for real jobs. Nothing's working. So I started delivering pizzas for Domino's Pizza. And I was doing that and actually making more money than I was making at my real job. From there, I became a manager. From a manager, my wife and I actually ultimately were able to buy our first franchise. And Jordan, we did it with no money of our own because this is where we started learning about mindset. See, we believed that you had to have money to make money. It takes money to make money. And I think you've heard that growing up yourself. Mm-hmm. Am I correct on that?
Mm-hmm.
And so we thought that was our mindset. That was our belief. But then luckily, you know, we had my brother-in-law was one of these guys that nothing's going to stop me from if I really want something. So we started looking at how do we buy the store we were working in? Because our franchisee wanted out. We wanted in.
Wow.
He wanted to sell both of his stores. We didn't have any money, but we had the desire and the passion to learn. Ultimately, after about 4 months of learning a lot of things of what not to do, and you know, we'll kind of come back to this, Jordan, because a lot of people are afraid to do stuff because they're afraid they're going to make mistakes. But what I've learned over the years, some of your greatest lessons come from just diving in and figuring out what doesn't work.
Wow.
And we spent a lot of money on people that said, oh, give us $1,000, we guarantee a loan. Nothing. But we'd learn what didn't work. And it took us about 4.5 months. And all of a sudden, we ended up buying both the stores that he had for sale. We did it with no money of our own, and we became franchisees. And you know what's interesting to the outside world? Oh my goodness, you're franchisees. You're successful. Wow, you've got it made. But they didn't see the behind the scenes working our tails off. Working our tails off because another mindset that was holding us back is we thought we had to do everything on our own.
Mm. If you want something done right, you do it yourself. That's a,
exactly.
There's a lot of truth in that statement, but man, it can be insidious if you take it too far.
That's right. Because sure, maybe someone else isn't going to do it as well as you, but the question is, what are you the best at doing that you're not doing because your time's being eaten up by all these little tasks?
Yes.
And you know, a great example of that was I was convinced that, you know, I let myself be convinced that we needed to do our accounting. And think about this, two Domino's pizza stores. Every day we've got 100 plus orders. You've got food inventory you got to do. You got money coming in, money going out. Because we believe we should do our own accounting, it never got done for 2 years. And now all of a sudden what it cost us, stress, time, money to play catch up. It was crazy. It was insane. But the moment I said, you know what, we need an accountant, and we made the kind of mindset shift that accounting is something that we will not do on our own, all of a sudden things turned around for us that way, because all this time got freed up, all the less stress. And so we were these franchisees and we were making pretty good money. But of course, another one of our mindsets was, or what we call a blueprint, my mind was set to spend more money than we were earning. So anytime extra money came in, oh, we just bought the toys. We had everything we could. And so we found ourselves going deep, deep, deep into debt. And by the time we were franchisees for 8 years, we were actually over $150,000 in debt, going down very, very quickly. And that's when we were introduced to personal development. Someone out of the blue, didn't even know who we were, but we had stopped by a booth of theirs at a franchise expo, sent us 2 tickets in the mail to thank us for stopping by their booth. And those 2 little tickets put us on a trajectory to where I am today. Because from those 2 tickets, we went to a 3-hour evening, learned about our minds and why our mindset was so crucial to understand. We went from there to a 3-day weekend, and we walk into the room, $150,000 in debt. We walk out 3 days later with our mindset totally different, so much so that 9 months later, we actually retired completely financially free at the age of 32.
What? That's crazy.
I know. And I look back now, I'm dating myself. That's already 18 years ago. And since that time, my mind went to, wow, if this helped us, if I could even help one person do what my wife and I accomplished, I wanted to start training. But again, I'd never trained a day in my life. So my mindset, you've never done it. Who are you? What experience do you have? But luckily, my passion and my tenacity and great people behind me. You know, and this is one of the big things I want your listeners to understand. Left to my own devices, I would be miserably comfortable in a job. But because I have people that are not willing to let me play smaller than I am, they hold me to a higher standard. I went from, you know, being comfortably miserable even in our business that we weren't enjoying anymore, to all of a sudden starting to do little warm-ups, 5 minutes. One of the things I want your listeners to really understand, Jordan, is this saying: 5 minutes can change your life.
I love that.
5 minutes. Because people ask me all the time, how did I get put on stage the first time? I was asked to step on stage for 5 minutes and help out one of my mentors. 5 minutes to just give some instructions and let people go for the evening. And that totally changed my life to where today I travel around the world several times. I'm an international best-selling author. I've developed my own app. I'm a business owner. I train trainers. And I've now personally taught over 500,000 people. And if you had told me 18 years ago that this is what I was going to do, I would have told you were absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. Because I couldn't see it in my current mindset. So that's kind of what my journey's been.
I love that. And that led you to write the book, Success Left a Clue. And did you just find success with the book immediately? People must have really resonated with it.
You know, no, like anything, it's a journey, right? The book itself took me, I first thought of it in 2002. I wanted to write a book. No idea what I wanted to write, but I knew I wanted to write a book. And I didn't write the first draft of it until almost nine years later, because friends pushed me towards it. And then I wrote it, and then it sat there, never published for another about 5 years. And it wasn't until 2 years ago that we actually re-looked at it. I realized I was a totally different person. I changed about half of the book, but now because I had made a commitment and decided to put the work in it, we did the launch and we put it out there. But again, it wasn't just instant. People don't understand. When you write a book, you're a writer. If you get even a publisher, they're publishers, they're not marketers. So you've got to turn around and do the marketing. Mm-hmm. Even people that are given huge advances to write their books, they end up taking that advance to market their book. So we put a lot of work into it. And one of the things I'm blessed is that I have partners all over the world because of where I train. So all of a sudden, to be able to tap into markets like Vietnam, Singapore, Thailand, Taiwan, India, Europe, the UK. In 2 days, I head down to Brazil, where my book is being translated for the first time into a different language, into Portuguese, is because I had these relationships. And this is something else people have to understand. Success around money or anywhere it comes down to the relationships you have. Who are you and how are you willing to help others? It's not about, hey, in this relationship, what am I going to get out of it? It's about, what can I do to be of a benefit and truly committed and connected with someone, not just it being all about you.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of those relationships, we've been able to have it be a number one bestseller around the world, you know, in a lot of different places, an international bestselling. And it's now kind of paved the way because it was my first book to get to just get one done, which is another really critical benefit I want people to understand. Anything you want to do, especially financially, get one done. Dive in and get one thing accomplished. Don't try to do a million things at once.
Mm-hmm.
Get one done. And it comes back to kind of one of my mentors, something he told me. And I love his quote, and then I added to it. He says, don't get good, get done.
I like that.
See, so many people, they're so worried about having to be perfect that they never start. And I love that saying so much that then I added to it. So it's now, for me, it's don't get good, get done. By getting done, you will get good. And look, here's a great example. How long have you been doing your podcast?
This show now, almost 3 years, I'd say.
And when you started, was your podcast the first day of what it is today?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, but you dove in. You started. And now look where you're at today. That's the key I want people to understand, is just get in the game, play. No matter, you know, another saying, I'd rather have sloppy success than perfect mediocrity.
Mm. I really identify with that, man. And I kind of want to jump around a little bit here from our talking points, because I feel that that is a really common roadblock that people face that prevents them from reaching the successes. I don't know if fear of failure is the right term. It seems a little oversimplified. I like the way you put it, which is you want it to be perfect so you never get started. But do you find that that's one of the biggest roadblocks? When you work with all your people, what in your estimation is the most common challenge and roadblock that stops people from achieving true success?
Overanalyzing.
Oh, wow.
They never take that first step. They never take it.
Which goes right into that.
Yep.
Okay. Overanalyzing. I like that. Okay.
Yep. And it's another one of the sayings, you know, there's so many things that changed my life. Like one step in the right direction is worth 1,000 years of thinking about it.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
It's just what's one step I can take today? This is where accountability partners. If you want to have success, holding yourself accountable is one thing, but we will do more for other people than we'll do for ourselves. So as an example, I just had conversations with three of people that I mentor and that are just about to start their mentoring journey with me. And one of the things that we're going to do for the next 52 weeks is every single week, they will be on a 5-minute call with me where I'm holding them accountable. And it's just about me saying, okay, here were your intentions last week. What did you get done? What didn't you get done? We'll celebrate what they got
done.
That's
huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll hold them accountable for what they didn't get done. And then we'll set their intentions for the next week. And that in that 5 to 10 minute call max, it will keep them moving forward, because I know I'm a procrastinator, but if there's something I said I'm going to do, even if I wait till the last minute to get it done, but I've committed to it, I'll get it done. And so that accountability is crucial if you want any kind of success. So find a partner to hold you accountable and then hold them accountable. Return the favor at the same time.
You know, you mentioned how all the people who were supporting you when you were first, you know, getting started on your own journey was so key. And now you're talking more about relationships and connection. Is that what it's all about, man? Does it all boil down to your relationships? Because imagine if instead you're one of the unfortunate people who has become accustomed and kind of conditioned to wind up in not so great relationships, maybe friends that hold them back or put them down. You know what I mean? Is it all about relationships in the end?
A lot of it is, absolutely. Because, let's go even deeper then. Let's just dive in on this. There's a principle that it's a universal principle that says this: you will teach others how to treat you.
Yes.
Meaning, so if you're sitting there and you're like, I'm always in these crappy relationships, as an example, instead of getting frustrated and thinking, playing the victim about it, ask yourself, how am I creating this relationship that other people end up talking down to me, or the other people, they may start off great, but then all of a sudden it goes sideways. How am I creating that? What's my part in creating that? and take responsibility. Because the moment you take responsibility, now you can make adjustments. And so it's a practice. Everything. You know, another one of my mentors, T. Harv Eker, favorite quote from his book of, you know, Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, every master was once a disaster. And so this again comes back to, you don't have to be perfect, but you start, you practice. So you go into a relationship even as of, look, I may not do things perfectly, but if you're willing, and let's say I'm having the conversation with you right now, and I say, I want to have a relationship where you and I hold each other accountable. And I'm going to let you know, I may not be perfect at it. I'm learning, I'm adjusting. But if you're willing to speak your truth with me, when I'm on, when I'm off, when I've, you know, I seem to be doing great, when I'm seeming to piss you off, instead of just getting upset and ending a relationship, if you'd be willing to speak your truth with me, I would appreciate that. And you set a context around it. The context of what does, I'm committed to making this work. Are you? And let me tell you, this works in financial, this works in any kind of relationship, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife. Unfortunately, too many people give up too quickly because there's no context around it, in my opinion. Mm. Let me be clear on that, in my opinion.
Interesting. Yeah. I want to talk to you about beliefs. We'll bring it around to talk more about Success Left a Clue when we wrap up here. But I want to talk to you about beliefs because it seems like you're kind of on that plane. And it's just such a major factor when it comes to someone's success. You know, not just when it comes to financial success and success in our modern society, what we consider success today, you know, making a lot of money, providing a lot of value in the free market, selling a lot of products, you know, offering your service, whatever it is. How important do you think beliefs are? And what are some examples of your favorite positive, healthy beliefs that we can adopt?
Oh, you know, I'm going to use an analogy that a friend of mine had, and he says, think of your mind like a huge warehouse, and this warehouse is completely empty, except for along one side of the warehouse wall is a row of filing cabinets, because our mind is nothing more than a big filing cabinet. That's it. And so just like computer programming, beliefs, garbage in means garbage out. And so most people don't realize this, but they're making their decisions today. I don't care if you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. I don't care. Most of your decisions today are being made from beliefs of things that you heard, experienced, or saw when you were a child, up about age of five. And going back to the analogy, the reason that is in this room, not only do you have the filing cabinets, but you have what's called a file master. And everything that comes your way, the file master grabs it and files it, grabs it and files it. But the problem is, by the time you hit the age of five or six, even worse today, because with computers, we're so inundated with so much stuff. All of a sudden, so much is coming at the file master, they cannot keep up anymore. Mm-hmm. So most of the information just ends up in a big pile in the middle of the warehouse of your mind, where the only thing now that gets filed is something that has some kind of emotional impact. All of a sudden, the file master, that catches his attention and all of a sudden grabs it. And let's use the example of, you're in a business partnership and all of a sudden you get in a big fight with your business partner and the partnership ends. And all of a sudden that's got a bunch of emotion behind it. And the file master goes, got it. Business relationships don't work. They end, and it files it. So the next time you go to want to start a business relationship, the first file that's going to come up is why business relationships end up ending bad. Mm-hmm. Why I even started? I'm going to save myself that pain. And so this is what our mind does. And I love kind of the analogy that people today don't use Windows 95 as their operating system. And yet they use that kind of a version in themselves. You'd never think of not updating your software. Hmm. Look at any app you have on your phone. The moment it's ready to update, you're updating it. You want the latest, greatest, but we forget to update our internal software.
Oh, I love that.
And so that's the biggest thing for your beliefs. Let's go from version 1.3 to version 9.6 that you could be at today. Update your software and watch what happens. And so one of the biggest ones I see, especially with, say, millennials, and this is something I've seen for a lot of people, and it's taken me a lot of years to realize it's about myself too. Everybody wants success, but they're afraid to put the work in it because one of the beliefs that's come up is my family will pay the price. my health will pay the price. My relationships will pay the price. And so that only allows them to go to a certain level.
Hmm.
But if they realize, to me, here's what true success is. True success is balance. And I've gone through and learned this just by trial and error. When I became a trainer, I went into my old habits. My wife and I had our Domino's pizzas. We worked open to close 7 days a week, 60, 70, 80, 90 hours a week. We got burnt out.
Jeez.
When I started training, I was doing 40 to 50 full-on trainings a year, home on average 2 days a month, burning myself out. And it took me ending up having to take 3.5 years off because of my physical well-being had taken a hit. I was totally burnt out. I went through back surgeries because I wasn't taking care of myself. It wasn't until I decided to come out of retirement that I realized there's times to work, but then there's times to take the time off.
Mm.
And so a couple of things for success that I want your listeners to really get and understand: quality versus quantity. Quality versus quantity. So when I came out of retirement and started training again, I knew I wanted 6 months a year to be at home. So right now, you and I are talking. I'm downstairs in my media room, in my beautiful home, having this conversation because I'm at home getting to enjoy life. And because I take 6 months a year to be at home, when I'm away, like in 2 days, I'll fly to Brazil to do a 3-day training, I'll be focused. I'll be focused and not my mind won't be going, oh, what's happening at home? Did I spend enough time with my family? 2 days ago, I had a ton of family at my home celebrating my oldest nephew's 40th birthday. And it was all weekend long. Everybody set their RVs up on our property and we just celebrated. We had a dunk tank. We were having a blast. And I wasn't thinking about work. See, when you have this balance, Jordan, you're able to, when you're at work and you're productive.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're at home and it's time for downtime, you're at home and you're relaxed. So to me, that's what the balance is. And that's what most people miss. So they put a lot of quantity time into things, but they forget to put the quality in. Enjoy and be present moment to moment. One of the things I like about Mind Valley and what I truly appreciate when I first really got to know Vision and Mind Valley was the meditation, being able to take that time for yourself, because those are key moments,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
It absolutely does. And I'm wondering what the holdup is. It takes a certain amount of discipline to pry yourself away from your workstation, because I think some people are very driven and drive is such a powerful tool. But what is it that can glue people like me and people like you clearly to that workstation to the point where it's detrimental to the work that you're so, in love with?
Conditioning.
Ah.
And it's because we think this is the only way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know anything different. So what I would suggest for, people that are listening, start small. Don't try and say, hey, I'm gonna take 6 months a year off. No.
Move to the beach. Right? Okay, I see. So yeah. Okay, I like that. Small steps. Pry yourself away from your obsession slowly.
That's right. Take 5 minutes that, set an alarm at 3 hours. I'm gonna take 5 minutes, I'm going for a walk. And then move it to 10 minutes. And even like an app I love to use is called Simply Calm.
Mm-hmm.
I like the sound of rain. And to quiet my mind, rain works great. So even before I got on this interview with you, I went into my bedroom, put my headset on, did 20 minutes of listening to rain. And it took about 10 minutes for my mind to quiet and become peaceful. And in the other 10 minutes, with just sheer absolute relaxation, at the end, a little gong goes off, like Zen ding, and it brings me out of the state and I'm ready to go. I'm energized. If I've got a headache, it's gone. And to me, that's what I do. So you start small. When I'm doing a 3-day training, I'm on stage for 12 hours a day. At any lunch break or dinner break, I do at least 20 minutes listening to rain to calm my mind, to become present again. So it's little habits like this that become big drivers. And same thing is, okay, you take that time away from your workstation. And if you're in a relationship and I can be halfway around the world, but with FaceTime, instead of just being on audio with my wife, if she's not with me, we do FaceTime so we can see each other. we can become present with each other. Mm-hmm. And if one of us is, starts drifting, and you can tell when a person's not totally there, then it's something as simple as saying, come back to me. And it's a signal to become present again. I notice you're not with me. And it's these little practices that can make big differences. People think it has to be all or nothing. And so they tend to end up with nothing but stress, nothing but frustration. And so think of it as just, what little steps can I take in my journey? I don't have to make a big change right away. If I'm in a job and I want to start a business, great, start something part-time. And it kind of goes back to another one of my mentors, Ken Courtright, the one that said, don't get good, get done. He says, you make a living from 9 to 5, but you create your life from 5 to 9.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that again. You make a living from 9 to 5, but you create a life from 5 to 9. What are you doing in those extra hours to actually move yourself forward? And again, you don't have to do it all the time. Don't think you have to, Robert just said 5 days a week from 5 o'clock at night to 9 o'clock at night, those four hours, that's 20 hours a week, I got to work on doing other stuff. No, that could be taking part of that time and having date night with your spouse. It could be taking part of that time and being there truly present with your children, taking part of that time and maybe starting a part-time business. Because we're holistic. You cannot impact one area of your life without impacting the others. So it's, what are you doing to take care of your whole life?
I love that. Yeah, I love the focus on balance. And, we've spoken a lot about career. I want to talk about money specifically because they're very intertwined, but separate nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to happiness and success, all around success, like you said, holistic success, especially in modern free society in 2019, if we don't get a handle on our money, we can be hobbled for life. It is an integral part of our society, obviously. But also you can destroy yourself by the other side of the imbalance, like you said, by focusing too much on it. What do you have to say when it comes to happiness, success, and money?
Take care of the money side, which could be something as simple as starting to learn how to manage your money. Understand why you handle money the way you do. That's learning about the beliefs, three elements of change. Awareness. You cannot change a belief or change something you don't even realize exists.
Right.
Then have understanding, why do I believe this? And then once you have that awareness and that understanding, then you can do some reconditioning. Because if a belief isn't supporting you, I don't care how hard you work, if you have a poor belief on how you manage your money or handle it or spend it, you're always going to be broke. And so it's a matter of reconditioning and taking those simple little sayings like, it takes money to make money, and rewiring it to maybe be, it takes creativity to make money. I have to work hard for my money to know I can have balance around money in my life. And that's where, like the program I teach, the Millionaire Mind Intensive, that's where it's critical because it teaches you how to understand why you believe what you do. And that's why I wrote my book, Success Left a Clue, because it gives you 6 elements on being able to create that life that you want. And it's not just, it's a step-by-step because you get people that, well, show me the steps. Well, okay, I'm going to break it down step-by-step. But the book is more than a book because it's also a manual. There's action steps you have to take. Because here's the other biggest thing that people miss in their lives is they forget to take action. They think about it, they plan it, but they forget mm-hmm. the action part. Mm-hmm. So that's why even, when I wrote the book, I wanted to make sure there's action steps that they had to take with each of the 6 elements I teach. And I even tell them, if you haven't done these, don't read any further. Stop what you're doing right now, go do the action steps and come back, because now you're conditioning yourself to be a person who takes action. Even that 5 minutes away from your desk, you can think, oh, what a great idea, I'm gonna do it, but the alarm goes off and all of a sudden you're like, I don't wanna lose my train of thought right now. I'll just do a few more minutes, and then you forget about the 5 minutes. Action. And this goes to money as well. Managing your money is a habit. Either you're managing it or you're not. Either way, you've got the habit going. So if you're in the habit of not managing your money, you're always going to struggle financially. So find a simple system and just start doing it. And I know it sounds simple, and I'm going to say it like this. Do not let the simplicity fool you, because that's another thing the mind does. That's too simple. It can't be that easy.
Right.
Absolutely it can. You just got to get started and then stay consistent. This is why don't try doing it on your own. Have someone to do it with. If you have a spouse, you have children, do the money managing together as a family. If you have a good friend, do it with each other to hold each other accountable, because it's much funner, you know, having success when you do it with other people. Plain and simple.
You know, when you were talking about your big revelation when you first entered the personal development world and you were up to your eyeballs in debt, what were some of the beliefs that you were holding that were holding you back? What were some of the deep-seated principles that you had to let go of?
Oh, one was I actually felt guilty, and I don't know why, but I felt guilty if I made more money than my dad.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, and I don't even know where that came from, but I uncovered this belief. And it looked, all of a sudden, my life just made sense, because every time I'd get around $40,000 in income for a year, which was the most my dad ever made in a year, I would sabotage my own success. And even being a business owner, and I don't know where it came from, but the moment I was able to identify and let it go, that was one. Another one that had for me is that I had to do everything myself.
Right.
I love how Kiyosaki puts it, Robert Kiyosaki. You know, schools, and he hit a lot of controversy over this. He says, in school, you're taught, figure it out on your own. If you ask for help, you're cheating. If you copy what someone else is doing, you're cheating. So we learn this all the way through school. And yet when we graduate and we go into the real world, trying to figure it out on your own is the surest way to hobble yourself and struggle.
That's true. I never thought of that. All you want to do in a new workplace is copy what the next person is doing correctly.
Exactly.
That's the number one thing you want in an employee.
Exactly. And look what happens though when we go into now, all of a sudden it's like, oh, someone teaches us a system, but deep in our subconscious, even though we know the system works, even though we know that's how it's going to allow us to have greater success or get into our job quicker or whatever it is, our mind goes back to what we taught all our years growing up in school, figure it out on your own. So all of a sudden our mind goes, I have to create a different system. I have to do it my way or else I'm cheating. And so all of a sudden we try and reinvent that wheel.
Wow, that is fascinating.
And this is why my book is called Success Left a Clue, is because there's all these clues to success. And I'm known on stage for giving people clues. And one of the clues I love to give people is this. If you want to reinvent the wheel, do it later. Do it later. Follow the system. Get the success. Once you have the success, at least now you have it. If you still want to reinvent the wheel, reinvent the system, now you can do it because at least you have the success.
Mm-hmm.
But most people, we try to reinvent the wheel right away. And then we wonder why we struggle.
That's powerful, man.
That's the key.
Yeah, that's absolutely powerful. I love that. And I love those little soundbite clues that you have on your website too. It's really powerful stuff. Listen, I wanted to talk about young people, and you touched on young people earlier. I want to talk about young people in particular who struggle with finding their life path, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think part of it is due to the limitless options that we have right now, overwhelm.
Mm-hmm.
What advice do you have for people who are feeling lost and can't seem to figure out which life path suits them?
Well, first of all, quit being so tough on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking on a lot of pressure, especially when it's so easy today with our social media to compare ourselves to other people. And so first of all, quit comparing yourself to anybody else. You're you. You're unique. Be you. And so what you have to realize is that when, especially you look at something like Facebook, people love to put all their, what's going great in their life, how things are amazing. And so we compare our worst days to what we're seeing as their best days on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're setting ourselves up for frustration. So number one, be more gentle with yourself. Two, ask yourself, what is it you love to do? And be willing to follow your passion, no matter what other people have to say. Because if, you know, one of the trainings I love to teach people is how to find what they love to do and then learn how to make money doing what they love. And because that came from that deep-rooted, when I was growing up, that no, I would find the job that was paying the most and that would give me the greatest security. That's my criteria for finding a job. Forget about enjoying it. Forget about anything else. But so today, because I've gone through that pain, and, you know, one of my first jobs was working in a fiberglass shop, laying down chop. And so if you've ever worked with fiberglass, it's such a fine fiber of glass. and you get hot, your pores open up. The fiberglass is going into your pores.
Ugh.
For the 6 months I worked, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm not sleeping because I'm scratching like crazy because of all this fiberglass. But yet it was paying the bills. It's what I had to do. It was stable. I was, you know, whatever my mind was telling me, never considered stepping away. The only reason I left the job is because a job I had applied for before, that of a factory that was about to open, they all of a sudden got a hold of me and they said, you know, we're doing interviews now. We want to interview you. And me being the person I am, because I'm a very loyal person, I went to my bosses and I said, I've been asked to come back for this interview for something I had applied to before I came to here. I want you to know I'm going to go for the interview. And they said, okay. And they said, let us know how it goes. So I went to the first interview and they set up a second interview. I told my bosses and they said, okay, Robert, well, if they, you know, let us know what they're offering you. And if we can match it, will you stay with us? And it was no question in my mind. I'm like, absolutely. Now picture this. Already for 5 months, I'm waking up and I can't sleep because I'm itching so bad.
Jesus.
But in my mind,
it's hardcore.
That I'm in, right? Because I'm committed. I'm loyal this way. So I went to my new interview and at the time I was making $6.75 an hour and no benefits working for fiberglass. I went into the new interview, the second one, and they said, you know, from what you've told us and what your experience is, we would actually, because you've been doing quality control, we'd like to put you in the quality control department. And it was making cedar doors. And they said, so when the doors come off the line, you would touch up anything and quality and blah, blah, blah. And that position is actually a secondary position. It's not our entry level. So you're up a level because you have the experience and it starts you off at $10 an hour. And after 3 months, you'll have full medical and dental benefits and health benefits for you and your family. Now, I walked back to I said, look, I have a commitment to my other job. Can I ask you tomorrow? And they're like, absolutely. So I went back to my current bosses. I said, here's what they're offering. And they said, you know, we appreciate you being upfront and please take the job. We cannot match that.
Right.
You've been great, but now here's why I want people to understand this. Because it comes back to what's happening with a lot of young people today. Everything happens for a reason. It's a universal principle. And that reason is there to serve you. Now, the reason I got the job at the secondary level, quality control, is because one of my jobs doing fiberglass was quality control. Had I not had that experience, I wouldn't have been able to get the new job that I got. Does that make sense?
100%.
And so, with the young people that are listening to this podcast, everything that you've gone through has made you who you are today. So instead of looking back and getting upset that, oh, I went through this or that happened bad in my life or this happened, go back and say, okay, what was the lesson? How is that making me who I am today? Well, I had a terrible breakup or that job, that business I started didn't work out. Perfect. What worked? What didn't work? What can you do different? What are your lessons? And it comes back to another great concept that another mentor taught me. There's no such thing as failure, only feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you take it as feedback instead of, oh my God, I did it wrong, watch what happens. And going back to that story, interesting enough, I found out later that 3 weeks after I started my new job, I would have actually been laid off from the fiberglass because their business was going down.
Mm.
So thank goodness that the new opportunity came along. I was upfront about it. I was able to leave with a clean slate without, you know, thinking like I had left them high and dry, stabbed them in the back or whatever. So from my own energy, I was able to have that clear, clean start with the new company. And that's really important for people as well. See, your integrity and your word is really the only thing you have. So quit comparing yourself to others, be you. And it kind of ties into something else where you're going to go. Is one of the greatest gifts that I believe anybody can give this world is to be authentic.
Mm-hmm.
Be who you are. And it's like a Dr. Seuss quote, one of my favorite. Be who you are and say what you feel. Because those who mind don't matter. And those who matter don't mind.
Oh, I love that.
We spend so much time trying to get other people to like us. But then we try to be something we're not. And this is a big issue, not just for the younger generation, but for generations ahead of them, is trying to please people and try to be someone else other than who you are, so people will like you. Mm-hmm. And people don't realize how much time and energy we waste. And let's turn it back to success. All that time and energy, one of the biggest things that allowed me to create the success I have today is the moment I quit trying to be a people pleaser, also not all that energy and time I was putting towards that, being able to put that towards who I truly am and the success I truly want, that's when my success skyrocketed. Mm-hmm. Because people just don't realize how much time and energy you waste on pleasing others. And that time can be used for so many other things. It's unreal.
That's a really, really good point. I think that sometimes there's a little over selflessness. I think that sometimes there's a overemphasis on right and wrong choices, good or bad choices, when in reality, you may be just better off being authentic and kind of getting out of your head a little bit.
Yep.
Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. Because in all situations, here's what's going to happen. Some people are going to like you. Great. Some people aren't. Great. We've got over 7 billion people on this planet. You're not going to get everybody to like you. So why not attract the people who like you for who you are? And it, even today, it blows me away. The people that want to get to know me. And when I used to be that people pleaser, I was like the little lost puppy dog. Please, please, please like me. Oh, please. And it was pathetic.
Suddenly, it's almost repellent. Yeah.
It is, absolutely. Because people who I really respected and wanted to like me, it was almost like they'd be looking at me like, get away from me.
Right.
And today, you talk financial success. The millionaires and billionaires that want to get to know me, it blows me away. And I find myself every once in a while going, why? And then I go, right, because I'm me. And it comes down to even trainers. One of the biggest things I teach new trainers, because I've trained thousands of trainers, is the biggest pet peeve for me with trainers is someone who's one way on the stage, and you look at them, you're like, wow. But if you were to meet them off the stage or in the day-to-day life, you'd be like, who is that person? Because they change. When they're on the stage, they're putting on an act. And one of my mentors that when I first became a trainer, they said, Robert, you never want to have to be worried about where a student might meet you, whether it's on a plane, at the airport, in a mall. You want to know that who you are on stage is who you are off the stage. That's the authenticity. And so today, I never worry about where I'm going to bump into a student because, hey, they even ask my wife, is he that crazy in real life that the way he is on stage? And she's like, yep. Because that's who I am. Mm-hmm. I like to have fun. Now, does that mean I don't have bad days? Absolutely. Everybody does. But I've created the space where I'm not worried about, you know, if I'm having a bad day, I can have a bad day. And I'm okay with that because I allow myself. Mm-hmm. And you know, I love movies. Do you like movies?
I do. Yeah. Old movies particularly. But yes, I do.
Okay. One of my favorite kind of movies is animated movies. Mm. Because if you look at it, any animated movie out there, that is, they're great for kids. But if you really, truly look at the deepest lessons, they're there for the adults. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite is Inside Out. Because I'd like to dive in on why they created things or how they created things. And the movie Inside Out, the psychologists and therapists that they really learned from before putting this movie together. And it's all about all the different emotions in the brain of this girl. And joy. Joy was always there. Everything's joyful, joyful. And the one that always everybody tried to push away was sadness. Sadness, you're ruining this. Sadness, don't. But by the end of the movie, you realize sadness has its place. Mm-hmm. And if you don't allow sadness to have its time to come in, you're going to create that inner turmoil. You're going to create health issues for yourself. And I know this interview is mainly supposed to be about financial success. But again, people have to understand it all ties together. If you don't allow financial sadness to play its part and then get out, emotion is great and okay as long as you allow it to come in and go out, just like breathing. But if you try to suppress it and stuff it down, it ends up creating that dis-ease, disease inside of you. So you've got to allow all emotions to have their place. And so when it comes to finances, yeah, you can do, and people go, Robert, I've learned everything around finances, but I still, financially, I'm not doing well. Well, it's because you're looking at the only finances in a certain way. Look at your whole life. Are you having the balance in all areas? Are you allowing the emotions to come in? Are you allowing your struggles to be okay without beating yourself up relentlessly? Are you able to sit there and say, okay, it happened. I learned a lesson. Move on. Next. Take one more step. Take one more step. Take one more step. Instead of being 1,000 steps ahead of yourself, become more present. Whether that takes a little bit of meditation, whether that takes time for yourself, away from others. Heaven forbid you give yourself 5 minutes to be alone. You know?
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff we're talking about.
I love it, man. This has been really enlightening. I appreciate you taking the time to do this. Before we sign off, do you have any parting words, anything you'd like to instill in the listeners before we sign off here?
Just be you. And one of the biggest ones is the first step in my book. It's not just about dreaming, but it's dream big. Start dreaming big again. You know, as a child, anything was possible. But then as we grow up, we're told you don't have the right education, you're not in the right family, you don't have whatever. And we allow that to steal our dreams. We are around other people that are dream stealers. So start dreaming big again and then utilize a system to actually bring those dreams to reality. That's why I wrote the book, Success Left a Clue, because it's what I needed in my life. And so by breaking it down into step-by-step chunks, little bite-sized chunks that anybody can do. Just start dreaming big again is how I would kind of end
love
that.
It. Love it, man. Everybody listening who's interested, successleftaclue.com. What can we find on that website, Robert?
Oh, there's videos. There's lessons of what I do around the world. I have, you know, little webinar. All my transcripts from my podcast, Success Left a Clue, automatically get posted to there. I'm now 3 years in like yourself. And mine are just little bite-sized 5 to 10, maybe 15 minute long little podcasts that I put on there. You can also, on Amazon.com or Amazon.ca for my Canadian friends, you can order my book. Or if you're overseas, you can get the ebook from Amazon.com or Amazon.ca. And look, just get a hold of it, read it, take the bite-sized action steps that I give you and watch what you can do.
Love it. Check it out, everybody. SuccessLeftAClue.com. One more time, Robert. Thank you so much for doing this, man. I really appreciate it.
Oh, anytime. This is what I love to do.
Awesome. Everybody out there, thank you so much for listening. This is Robert Riopel and Jordan River signing off, wishing you a great day. We'll see you next time on the Lifebook Member Podcast.